Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter's nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Evening Nightly News. I'm Peter Rosenberg. We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Giancarlo, non se può, whatever.
And then we'll say good evening to Don.
Cal Ripken.
Cal Ripken.
RJ, I think we'll need a back-to-back, and you know what I'm talking about. The two great times this has happened in the last week, and both have been sad.
Cal Ripken.
Cal Ripken.
Odell Beckham Jr.
Odell.
Why don't you guys leave Don alone, okay? I'm not going to put up with it anymore.
Michael already swept the week. I can't believe it. So, Michael, what do you even do the next couple days? Do you want to? So, Don, you really want to dig in and do some Who Am I's the next couple days? Because, I mean,
yep.
it's over.
Exclusively.
All right. The next 2 days, all Who Am I's. We're going to get that brain going. I was so embarrassed. I was sure you guys would get the Cal one after, like, the third hint. But I guess
you were
that's
reluctant to give the final clue.
Yeah, but it's built into my. Come on. Think about how, with my limited baseball knowledge and where I grew up, obviously, for me, Cal Ripken's the first thing I'm ready to guess at any time. So I'm not a
But I got more than one tweet from people saying I knew it the second he said Iron Man. Well, you never did.
I didn't say Iron Man. I said a Marvel nickname. All right, guys. So unlike baseball, the NBA is going to approve a deal. A 22-team return to the league and our very own Adrian Wojnarowski explained why 22.
The league essentially went with teams that were within six games in the standings of the eighth seed. Five of those teams were in the West. New Orleans, Portland, Phoenix, Sacramento, and the San Antonio Spurs. And then in the East, only the Washington Wizards. And now you have, you know, a tournament environment potentially where Zion Williamson and New Orleans could get into the postseason. Portland with Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum and perhaps a healthy Yusuf Nurkic, Zach Collins. Those teams will come back stronger. And so, you know, and as one owner told me, that they really believe that the 22-team format was ultimately the most compelling. Certainly it was more financially rewarding for teams and players than only bringing back the 16 teams. But the ability here for teams to play themselves into the postseason was a big part of this.
So there you have it, guys. Mm.
And they are going to play games before the playoffs. So that gets everybody a little run.
See, I need some clarification on this because it's an 8-game regular season for seeding.
Right.
But that can't possibly include the top seeds, right? I mean, you're telling me. So if the Bucks for some reason just have like a week 8 games and drop to 4-4, that they can actually like drop to the middle of the pack?
I believe, I have not seen all the exact details, but I believe that could happen. I also saw that if you're the 8th seed and you're more than 4 games ahead of the 9th seed, you cannot lose that spot, even with the 8-game plan.
This isn't in continuation of their current record?
I think it is.
But how?
So the 8 games are being done, but they're not going to be based on those 8 games. It's how it ends up after those 8
right.
games.
So right.
a team like Portland will have a chance. And I wonder if for Damian Lillard, who said he didn't want to come back if there wasn't a chance, they need to make up 3.5 games. I guess it would be very hard, but 8 is enough. So, yeah, I mean, you'd have to go basically 8-0.
Right, okay. So just to get this straight, so you're saying there's an 8-game, there'll be 8 regular season games to give those teams on the outside a chance to get in.
There you go.
Okay, then I could see. I thought it was going to be they would play eight games and then kind of seed from them. That would make no sense. So there's no guarantee that any of those teams are going to get into the playoffs. They're guaranteed eight games. That's it.
Now, yeah. But now here's a question I have for you.
But that's going to be virtually impossible.
It's very hard.
So you're going to have the Trailblazers, the Pelicans,
Kings,
and the Spurs.
Or Spurs.
Are all four back in the loss column. That's to make a four back in the loss column in eight games, that's really hard.
Now, the hope you'd have to have is when we see the schedule, is that like one of those teams happens to have two games against a team in front of them.
Yeah, how are they going to make up the schedule?
That's another interesting thought. What do you do?
I mean, because you could rig the schedule.
Some other interesting things here, though. There were some scenarios discussed that I don't fully understand. The higher-seeded team being awarded the first possession of the second, third, and fourth quarters. The higher-seeded team being allowed to designate one player to be able to be whistled for seven fouls instead of six.
Is this for the whole postseason? Or just the eight games?
Well, no, it's saying the higher-seeded team, so it must mean the playoffs.
No, it could...
It could be during the play-ins.
Just for the eight games. I need somebody. We got to get somebody on to talk about this tomorrow. I'm not.
Woj! You want Woj? I'll get him right now. By that, I mean I'll text Andrew and say, Andrew, can we get Woj? We need an explanation.
And also, I think we can all agree. They could talk all they want about fairness, six games. They want Zion in. If Zion was in, I don't think we're playing 22.
I will tell you, I'm looking forward to whatever this weirdness is going to be.
It's going to be compelling.
Is it bad, and is it my NBA bias that I believe that whatever they come up with, we're going to end up all really enjoying it?
I think we'll enjoy it.
Yeah, I think we'll enjoy it. Better than not playing attention baseball.
But I do think, and maybe this is my NHL side of me, Peter, since you said the NBA side. Even though the NBA might be more confusing, Michael Wilbon's not going to go out and say how confusing the NBA is, that the NHL was confusing. Because the NBA will get the benefit of the doubt, right?
The NHL, people saying the NHL was confusing was simply they just didn't care that much. It wasn't confusing.
Don't say it's confusing. It's not confusing. I think it makes sense. And I think including the teams that they included were teams that had a realistic shot, I guess. And I'm sure there was some idea that, that's probably good to get Chicago, Montreal, and the Rangers involved. But... I want to see how these eight games are going to work because who they're going to play. Because you would have to have the teams that are out all have similar schedules, right? So would they play each other and then the other teams play the eight games to kind of figure out their seedings? Well, only playoff teams play each other and then the non-playoff teams play each other? Where the non-playoff teams fight to get into the playoffs, and then the teams that are in the playoffs can fight whatever's close to seedings? I don't know.
This is all very, very confusing. Now, football, at this point, it's being expected that while facilities are opened on a limited basis for, quote, essential employees, healthy players still not allowed to return. It's now expected that players will not return to facilities until training camp. So that's what Adam Schefter is reporting. There are no official dates yet, but Roger Goodell informed teams that they must hold training camps at their main practice facilities because of the virus. So where do the Cowboys go?
Those go to California. Where is it?
Northern California.
They used to. I don't know if they still go to California. I think they have a facility in Dallas, I believe.
What team was Antonio Brown on last year? The Raiders. The Raiders go to wine country. But people are going to be at their practice facility.
No, the Raiders don't go to wine country. The Raiders are going to train in Vegas now.
Oh, sorry. No more. Yeah, they'll be in Vegas, not in wine country. They'll be at their home facility there. I forgot. We'll get used to it, right? Hey, listen. Considering half the people still say the San Diego Chargers, I'm sure we'll figure out the Vegas Raiders right away. So, Vic Fangio was asked about racism being prevalent in the NFL, and Vic Fangio said he doesn't see it.
I think our problems in the NFL along those lines are minimal. We're a league of meritocracy. You earn what you get. You get what you earn. I don't see racism at all in the NFL. I don't see discrimination in the NFL. You know, we live in a great atmosphere. Like I alluded to earlier, we're lucky. We all live together, joined as one for one common goal, and we all intermingle and mix tremendously. You know, if the society reflected an NFL team, we'd all be great.
You know what? In listening to him, I think he meant the room. Because nobody could look at the totality of the NFL and say that there's not inherent racism. There's no, you know, two black GMs and four black coaches or coaches of color. So I don't think anybody could look at that and legitimately say nothing. But within the room polices itself. Maybe that's what he truly believes.
But it was interesting. We had Bomani Jones on. You can hear him on the podcast. We had him at 5. And Bomani was saying that in his time covering the NFL, he was kind of even more shocked. It sounded like that Fangio could see it that way. Because it's so obvious to see rooms and see how split they are. Michael, you've talked to me about how divided baseball locker rooms are.
Well, no, they're definitely cliques. And that's why CC Sabathia, and it's not really divided along racial lines most of the time. It's just divided along, you know, interest and stuff like that. That's why CC Sabathia was so important to get in 2009, and Brian Cashman told him, you need to fix that room. And all of a sudden, he's taking people to Orlando Magic games and spring training, and he became the rallying point for everybody. He fixed the room. I think a lot of rooms are like that, but I don't, it's not necessary. Sometimes it's by language, because you could communicate better, and sometimes it's just by friendship.
But this is also a league, Michael, that had to make it a penalty for racial slurs during a game.
Right.
I mean, so it does kind of come across a little tone deaf when, you know, to say that it doesn't exist. He was, you know, even in the room,
even in the
room, to say it doesn't exist. That just, listen, I know it, you know, everybody wants to have football be the guiding light, and it's the best way to do things in the room, and the huddle and the communication and all that, and they're all teammates and they're brothers in arms and all the cliches you want to throw out there, but to say it doesn't exist, it's.
Let's hear from Tony Dungy, who was on Golic and Wingo earlier, his reaction to the comments from Fangio.
A football locker room can be one of the greatest places in the world where you see people coming together from all different types of backgrounds chasing a common goal. So that is true. But to say there is no racism and no problem, I think really is not recognizing the situation. As you said, you know, the league has talked about having 70 to 75% African-American players and no black president, just a couple of black general managers. There are issues there, and it is not a complete meritocracy, even though it's a great place. And I think the same thing could be said of our country. It is a great country. We have a lot of things going on. We have a lot of positive, but let's not say there's nothing wrong.
That's Tony Dungy. A lot of people had strong words for Fangio, but more strong words for Drew Brees. Let's hear from Drew Brees, who was also interviewed and asked about Colin Kaepernick's protest and if he sees the protest differently now.
I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. Let me just tell you what I see or what I feel when the national anthem is played and when I look at the flag of the United States. I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II, one in the Army and one in the Marine Corps, both risking their lives to protect our country and to try to make our country and this world a better place. So every time I stand with my hand over my heart, looking at that flag and singing the national anthem, that's what I think about. And in many cases, it brings me to tears, thinking about all that has been sacrificed, not just those in the military, but for that matter, those throughout the civil rights movements of the 60s and all that has been endured by so many people up until this point. And is everything right with our country right now? No, it's not. We still have a long way to go. But I think what you do by standing there and showing respect to the flag with your hand over your heart is it shows unity. It shows that we are all in this together. We can all do better and that we are all part of the solution.
Are we
now, I'm sure you have this, Peter, because you're a consummate journalist. Did you see Malcolm Jenkins?
Oh, would you like to hear it?
Oh, my goodness.
Here's Malcolm Jenkins.
Our communities are under siege, and we need help. And what you're telling us is don't ask for help that way. Ask for a different way. I can't listen to it when you ask that way. We're done asking, Drew. And people who share your sentiments, who express those and push them throughout the world, the airwaves, are the problem. And it's unfortunate because I considered you a friend. I looked up to you. You're somebody who I had a great deal of respect for. But sometimes you should shut the f*** up.
Now, that part has been taken down. He posted it on Twitter, and that's been taken down. But obviously, everybody has it. Peter has it. This is a guy who's in the room with Drew Brees now. Former teammate, then not. Now he's back with New Orleans. He's going to be in the room with Drew Brees. Michael Thomas, arguably the best receiver in football, in the argument.
Well, I don't know if he's in the argument.
He pretty
right
much said that Drew, what was that?
I said, well, right now he's not really in the argument. I mean, last year he had 7,000 catches.
That's right.
And what he was told him, you know, Drew Brees catches? Don't know nothing, I think was his comment.
He said, Michael Thomas said, he don't know no better. And then he put up another tweet where he said, we don't care if you don't agree, and whoever else. How about that? And it's never good.
I would say that Peyton doesn't agree. I've seen some of the stuff that Peyton has tweeted. He's very much behind the protest. I mean, this is his coach. He supposedly loves him.
It's never good when the Condor swoops in, Michael.
No.
The Condor has swooped. Came right at him. We wrote, wow, man, with the palm in the face. Is it still surprising at this point? Sure isn't. You literally still don't understand why Cap was kneeling on one knee. Has absolutely nothing to do with disrespect of the flag and our soldiers who keep our land free. My father-in-law was one of those.
Yeah. Bomani made the point, too, that this came from a military angle for Kaepernick. So stop with the whole veteran thing. We've had tons of veterans call our show during the Kaepernick controversy and supported his right to do it. But the biggest thing about what Drew Brees said is, you know, disrespecting the flag. So he's taken completely tone deaf to the fact, forget about everything that's going on. When he knelt, he didn't kneel because of police brutality. He didn't kneel because of his race. He knelt to disrespect the flag. How dare he do that? Come on, really? Honestly, that's what outrages you. So nobody's calling you a racist per se, but really of all the things that have been going on in the heat of all this going on, you're on that show because of everything that's going on. And the first knee-jerk outrage you feel is for the disrespecting of the flag.
Diana Rossini is reporting on Twitter that she reached out to some Saints players about Brees' comments. Many don't want to give quotes to the media at this time. She's told there is a plan for a team meeting to discuss this, quote, in-house.
Yeah.
Now, Peter, we talked about it earlier. Maybe when he gets bombarded with the criticism and talks to his teammates, he might be able to figure it out and get it right.
No. I think if they liked him in the first place, and I assume they did because we've never heard anything different, if people liked Drew Brees in the first place, when you factor in that and how good he is, people will be willing, I'm guessing, to talk through this and see where they can get.
Well, he's very lucky he's a Hall of Famer, because if he wasn't, there'd be more consequences.
Well, but I'll tell you one thing, though. Guys, you know, at some point, Drew's going to start to lean over that cliff and start going the other way. And my hunch is it's soon. What is the latest it is? It's this season or next season, you're going to start to see a drop-off. And if he doesn't win people back, the murmurs would be a lot louder about Taysom Hill, or as Michael calls him, Tayshaun Hall.
He's officially changed his name, by the way.
The cries would get louder for some. Oh, and who, didn't they also? Who else did they sign? Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
So,
but now, I mean, Drew Brees only could play this year.
Right. Maybe that's it. Now,
but there's a lot on the line here. He's playing. You know, I think they're in the conversation to maybe win a championship in his last year, and he, you know. Probably most important to him right now is to correct the damage in that room, and we'll see. You know, he will have some sort of an apology, and then we'll kind of see. Does it seem? Is it a statement? Does it seem like it's just regurgitating something he was told, written form, or is it going to be heartfelt? We'll see.
Aaron Rodgers went on social media and posted a picture of him and his teammates locked arms in you know, their arms locked together, and wrote, "A few years ago, we were criticized for locking arms in solidarity before the game. It has never been about the anthem or a flag. Not then, not now. Listen with an open heart. Let's educate ourselves and then turn word and thought into action." I just want to say, who? The only people who criticized them for locking arms, I thought, were people like me who thought it was weak. I mean, Aaron Rodgers wanted to jump on and congratulate himself right now. Don, we talked about this many times. How impactful would it have been if a white quarterback had taken a knee, not done the half-assed arm locking or hand on shoulder?
Right. I mean, like,
you didn't
I
do
said,
it. Like, you didn't do it, and now you're right. Celebrating yourself years later. You didn't take the step. You didn't choose to be an ally back then. You're doing it now when everyone's choosing.
Yeah,
to make that choice.
Like I said earlier in the week, there's a big difference between supporting and joining. Yeah, you lent some support. Hey, I'm behind you, but not completely to where I'm going to kneel. Because I've got a lot of people that are going to be upset with me if I do that, so I'll just put my hand on your shoulder, or we'll walk arm in arm together out to for the coin flip.
I mean, believe me, it wasn't that big a deal. Jerry Jones walked arm in arm. Okay, let's all.
So they again, it's hijacking the narrative of what was going on.
You know, believe there's going to be kneeling the first game? Everybody, do you believe it?
There'll be a lot of it.
I mean. You can't discipline it if you're the NFL, right? I mean,
but you know what? The president is still going to be in office at the start, and that actually could be a rallying point for one side or the other. I mean, it turns completely political at that point.
It'll be very interesting to see, and this time around, will we finally see white players do it? Because wouldn't it be crazy we come back and it's still just black players doing it?
Well, I think you've got a chance to do it. Just based on the protests and what we've seen, so many more people are outraged. I'd be very disappointed if you didn't. And I just, would it really be a thing? Like, honestly, I mean, I really felt even before what happened in Minnesota that people were kind of coming around on Kaepernick. Not completely, obviously, but didn't it seem like it was less of a thing that people were starting to get it? Like, all right, now I kind of see his perspective. Maybe they didn't agree with the kneeling, but they kind of, if you didn't think it was an issue before he knelt, over the last few years, it became crystal clear.
Can I ask you one question, though, Peter, that I don't
understand? I'm always here to answer whatever questions you have.
Why did he take the money from the NFL then? They did this guy wrong. They turn him out to be a villain. Why would you take the money and drop the lawsuit? Why? And then not even go to the workout in Atlanta to play anyway.
I understand why you take the money and not go through with the lawsuit if your lawyer's advising you you're not going to win. That as bad
but,
as they
again,
were,
if it's
you're not
about money, though, if you actually go to court against the NFL has to reveal stuff it does not want to reveal. It becomes very uncomfortable. The whole thing gets aired out in public. Instead, you took the money and shut up. And that just doesn't seem consistent with his message. I never understood that. I still don't.
But that I understand that, Michael. But to me, it's no longer really about, like, Kaepernick. Like, we can pick apart his decisions and the way he's handled things, and I felt he should have been more outspoken and did more interviews and try to explain his situation more.
He's never done one.
But, you know, all right, then that's on him, and maybe he wasn't the perfect messenger for it. But isn't it kind of not really about him anymore? that it's about just the gesture and what it meant and now starting the conversation rather than to kind of pick apart him as the messenger and then kind of losing what the message was in the first place?
No, I'm not picking it apart. I'm saying that if he doesn't settle, okay, which in essence was a hush payment, then the message would have continued to have been disseminated. And I never understood. You don't have to come on this show. I'd love to have him come on. His message could have been continuous. If it was all about the message, there's so many places he could have gone to continue the message, but he just shut down.
Peter, you know him a little bit, right? I think now that we can evaluate everything, that he may not have been the perfect person for this.
So, but who would be? I mean, in
somebody
theory.
That maybe could have, like there's a lot of imperfections that shouldn't matter, but like because of the Cuba shirt and the pig socks and the fact that he hasn't spoken and he took the money from the NFL, like, could there have been just someone that could have done a better job? That's
sure.
all I'm saying is.
But
that,
hold on, but Don, I agree with you, but doesn't when you see it, when you realize how tone deaf people are. And you hear that someone like Drew Brees still views things how he sees it. They would have picked him apart no matter what. Whoever it was getting picked apart.
No, that part I do understand. But if
he maybe was easier.
If he had a little bit more Muhammad Ali, where he was outspoken and wanted to go on every show and hammer the message, I'm sorry. I think a lot more people might have been won over. But his silence didn't counteract all the negative things that were thrown at him. So by having other people speak for him, I think it kind of devalued the message. If he was a little bit stronger that way, a little bit more extroverted. Again, I do think a lot of that was hijacking the narrative, but do you think fighting it might have helped a little bit?
I mean, I always wanted him to talk more. Yeah. I never understood that. That
it's
was
hard.
Never...
Listen, what he did, that's a hard thing to do, and not everyone's built to do it. You know, we from a sports perspective, who can we bring up? You know, Muhammad Ali, Jim Brown, you know, like a handful of people. You know, it was tough. It was tough to do.
Dr. Harry Edwards is going to be on with Carlin tonight after
That's
our
fascinating.
Show. So you should be listening to that.
You want
to
hear a snip?
Yeah.
Let's hear a little preview.
I'm effusively optimistic. We've been through worse and come out better. We've been through a civil war, and we came out better. Even with the impact of the social media and how it exacerbates divisions and opens us up to foreign involvement in our internal issues and divisions and so forth, Americans have the capability of dealing with this, but we've got to be honest about it.
That's more positive than I thought.
I love to hear the optimism.
It is incredible that it's really not that long ago that this country was at war with itself over enslaving human beings. South could tell you all they want that there were several different issues on the table for the Civil War, but the main one was keeping slavery alive. What are we talking, 150 years?
Yeah.
You know, so, and we did overcome it. Now, to your point, Michael, did everybody change overnight? Like the fact that the North won, did that change the hearts and minds of everybody in the South? Heck, there's some segments of this country that's still fighting that war. But
well, Michael,
we did come out from under it.
Michael, you made a point earlier where you were talking about sort of your hopelessness about the true racists. I think we give up on the true racists and we move on and leave them behind. But there is a win here, and there is hope in how many people are not that way. And I think, yes, there are some people, like I said, who were I saw them in Merrick, Long Island today, screaming F you to Black Lives Matter protesters. They lined up on the side of the streets so they could boo, heckle, and jeer the black people protesting for their rights. Those people lost cause. Goodbye. See you later. But there are some people, maybe some of them will turn out to be some of those people's kids, that you are able to win over and you are able to get better from.
I hope you're right.
I got to tell you, Ballard actually sent me a very interesting point earlier.
Wait, is his suspension over?
Yeah, it's been weeks.
Okay.
Ballard.
It's been a while.
He said, Drew Brees brought up his grandpa and his service, and how to him the flag is representative of that service. But when it comes to military service, what matters, what is so sacred, is not the what, it's why. German soldiers fought in World War II on the side of Hitler, and we don't celebrate their service. So it's not the service, it's the why. What were they fighting for? What's sacred about the sacrifice is that these men and women died fighting for liberty, justice, equality, freedom. So if you accept that, that those ideals are sacred, then how can Breeze tell black players to stand down and fall in line?
Well, he didn't say that, though. He said that he feels it's disrespectful for the flag. He's not saying other people shouldn't do it. He's essentially saying, I'm not going
to
do it.
Yeah, but if you listen to the beginning, he feels that kneeling for the flag is disrespectful. He felt that Colin Kaepernick was being disrespectful.
Right, but he's not saying don't do it. He's giving his opinion.
Well, but he's not doing it, but he's criticizing the people that do it as being disrespectful to the flag.
But you know, Don and Peter, we've taken phone calls here, and I'd say it's 50-50. There are veterans that call up and say that's what we fight for, the ability to do that. And there are other ones that call up and say, you know what, that's not right. So people do feel like that.
Well, people are allowed to feel like that, but if the thing that these people died for that you're so proud of is justice and equality, and Colin Kaepernick was kneeling for equality, and then you go, well, I believe in equality, but not when you do it that way. It just gets very inconsistent.
So let's get this straight. You can't protest because then people will go into the streets and loot, right? You can't take a knee for the national anthem because it's disrespectful to the flag. What exactly are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
Call everybody individually around the country and try to convince them to change their mind.
Don,
what exactly are you supposed to do?
You're supposed to protest in a way where the white people that we, like we spoke to earlier, don't have to feel it or feel guilty or sad or angry.
Then
you just do it on your own time.
So it doesn't bother me. So the people that need to hear the message
don't hear it. Correct.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Lastly, do we have time for a Tiger Watch, RJ? It's 10 seconds long. This is a big deal. We talked a while ago about what documentaries would make sense. Well, we will be getting a Tiger Woods documentary.
Tiger Watch.
So, Tiger, how did you play today?
Well, got off to kind of a slow start.
Do you feel like you're back to win at this level?
Yeah, I do, because I just did it.
Now, it will air in the fall, and it will not be a 30 for 30. It'll be a two-part documentary produced by HBO based on the book Tiger Woods by the great Armin Katayan and Jeff Benedict. On the heels, by the way, of Tiger putting out one of the weakest and most benign statements of anyone in all sports.
He's not an executive producer of this, is he?
No, he's not.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.